IFPRI Policy Seminar, Input Subsidy Programs in Developing Countries. What works, what doesn't, and why? Held on April 18, 2013 in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Derek Byerly from World Bank.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, and let me first start off by congratulating IFPRI and Michigan State University. They've been a little bit modest today in terms of talking about the very extensive evidence base that they've accumulated behind this quick summary of their results. It's actually about almost exactly 4 years ago we had the same discussion in the same room with one of the same commentators, which was me. IFPRI doesn't have an institutional memory, but at that time we were talking about results from one survey in one country. We had a lot of debates about the methodological issues. Today we've got evidence from about six countries in sub-Saharan Africa. We've got data from thousands of households and plots over time, panel data. And we've got much more rigorous econometric methods and also the beginnings of modeling some of the broader market effects. So I think we've made very, very significant progress in understanding this issue of input subsidies. And what's fairly clear that's coming out of this work is that they are not, these subsidy programs are not achieving their stated objectives. But we also recognize, and also coming out of this work, is there are unstated political objectives to these subsidies. And let me just talk a little bit about what happened in the World Development Report. As we were putting together the World Development Report, we had a stakeholder consultation in Africa. We had a very strong demand from that consultation in West Africa, actually, to include a section on what to do about subsidies, whether subsidies, input subsidies were needed. So we came back and drafted a section on input subsidies, talked about smart subsidies, all the things that should be done to make subsidies better, but also a rationale for subsidizing inputs. When we went out and finished the World Development Report, it was quite controversial in the bank as well, our position on the subsidies, but it finished up in the World Development Report, a strong case for smart subsidies. We went out, one of our first presentations was in Kenya in early 2008, right before the what was a tragic election in that year. And we had a lot of media present. We thought that after the presentation, we were going to get a lot of media questions from the reporters. And we noticed that all the reporters at coffee time were clustered around the Minister of Agriculture. And it turned out that the Minister of Agriculture was using that occasion to announce the input subsidy program in Kenya. So the next day, the headlines were all about the input subsidy program, nothing about the World Development Report. So there is a very strong political handing out vouchers for fertilizer before elections is a politically smart thing to do. But I think what we see from these results is that probably even smarter ways, even to achieve your unstated political objectives, you could do it in more efficient ways and in more equitable ways. So where do we go from here? I think I don't disagree with the basic thrusts that have been put out here. Clearly, I think it's important, and I think Tom particularly in his presentation has emphasized this, that input subsidies are looking at one aspect of the soil fertility problem, which is a major problem, but they're looking at the price of fertilizer only from the demand side. And even from the demand side, there's a lot of other things that have to be put in place to make fertilizer use more efficient. And I think the Zambia case is a classic case, where Zambia is spending 0.5%, the last figure I saw, 0.5% of its budget, agricultural budget, on research and development, but something like 35% on subsidies. Now that's, to me, is a gross imbalance in terms of solving the basic soil fertility problem, which is what we're trying to do here. And then in the long run, also I think hasn't been mentioned, ways of improving access to finance and risk mitigation for smallholder farmers. I think that's critical. And in a rain-fed system, fertilizer is a very risky input, and we need to give more attention to that. And then finally, on the supply side, we need concerted attention on improving fertilizer supply and reducing the cost of fertilizer along the supply chain. And whatever figures I've seen over the last few years, the best scenario is that even in a country like Kenya, which has got a fairly efficient private fertilizer system, fertilizer costs landed in Kenya are about 30% higher than Thailand. Thailand is a major agricultural success story. They import most of their fertilizer. Obviously a lot of this is port infrastructure, road infrastructure, but it's more than that in terms of the efficient logistics along the supply chain. And then input dealerships, a dense network of input dealerships that will bring fertilizer closer to the farm gate. So there's a whole range of things that you have to invest in, from R&D, roads, extension, logistics, output markets, as well as input subsidy programs. So I think one of the clear conclusions of all of this work is even if we can improve, and I think we can, the delivery of input subsidies, and get even if we could perfect them, you still have to have that balance in the range of public investments to be able to solve this critical soil fertility problem. And it's not just fertilizer, it's also many soils in sub-Saharan Africa are so degraded now that you have to have a very balanced approach in terms of organic and inorganic sources of nutrients. Let me stop there, and thank you very much.